May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Sonny Adrable, Benjamin Alexander Hawkins, and I would like to study forever as a free student very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services. May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm Sonny Adrable, Yob Hawkins. I'd like to serve forever as a priest starting very soon. Now it's time to start finding new staff services. I'd like to introduce the sons and daughters of the Israel Now Ending Sanctuary. Now time to start finding new seats for Sabbath services. Now I'd like to turn it over to our first speaker, Obadiah Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace be out with each and everyone again. Okay, so my title today will be Yeshua is the Teacher of the Sabbath. And you know that Yeshua has taught different topics in the inspired scriptures, and one of them being keeping the Sabbath day holy, as he did by example. So if you can please turn over to Matthew 12 in your bookie hour. Matthew 12, it's on page 738. Matthew 12, verse 8 and verse 12. Okay, verse 8 says, so the Son of Man is also the teacher of the Sabbath. And verse 12 says, and how much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do righteousness on the Sabbath. So, you see that verse 8 says that Yeshua was the teacher of the Sabbath. This means he taught the Sabbath law. We find the Sabbath law in Exodus 20:10. You don't have to turn there. So in Exodus 20:10, the law about the Sabbath says, but the 7 day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, your heavenly Father. In it you shall do no work. Okay? So, and also verse 12 says that it is lawful to do righteousness on the Sabbath. What is righteousness? Deuteronomy 6:25, familiar scripture. Deuteronomy 6:25, on page 153 says, and it will be our righteousness if we observe to do all this law before Yahweh our Father as He has commanded us. And also, First Yochanan chapter 3, also on page 965. First Yochanan chapter 3 and verse 10 says, in this the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of Yahweh and does not love his neighbor. So we see that if you do not practice righteousness, you don't belong to Yahweh. Okay, so the first law about keeping the Sabbath is to go to the place where Yahweh chose to establish His name, and also where Yahweh chose to meet with man, so that He can teach them the proper way to keep the Sabbath day itself, and also the rest of the annual feasts. And this takes some practice, because remember, Satan will always try to stop us from doing this, be it simple excuses or whatever may come up. She'll always try to stop us. So when we keep the Sabbath day holy, Yahweh gives us rest from all our work. Remember that the main word in this sentence right is our work. We have to stop doing all our work and do Yahweh's work on the Sabbath. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11. It's on page 738. Matthew 11. in verse 28 to 30. It says, Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, the law of Yahweh is easy, and my burden the Lord must be carried, and is light. Okay, so we have to take on Yahweh's yoke on the Sabbath. This means we have to take on Yahweh's work on the Sabbath. Remember, Yahweh's work will never stop, and will go on throughout eternity. And Pastor gave a sermon that was entitled that you must work to keep the Sabbath day. You must work to keep the Sabbath day holy. So when we hear the word rest, that doesn't mean we kick back and relax. It means that we have to rest from doing our work and do Yahweh's work. Okay, and this is the work of Yahweh. Besides from believing into the one sent, the work of Yahweh also includes following instructions and also obedience to those who are placed over us. Okay, in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, we find Yeshua's example when he taught his disciples to keep the Sabbath. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 8 and 9, it says, now Yeshua caused them to rest in obedience to the law, spoken of by Yahweh in a day previously. Okay, what's the day previous before the Sabbath? What's the day that comes before the Sabbath? The prep day. So we see that as we are being prepared to keep the Sabbath day on every prep day, Yeshua also prepared his disciples to keep the Sabbath day every prep day. Therefore, there remains, this is verse 9, therefore there remains the keeping of the Sabbath to the people of Yahweh. Okay, so Yeshua taught his disciples to rest in obedience to the law by preparing for the Sabbath in advance. These are examples of what Yeshua, a high priest, has been teaching us. And remember that Yeshua had to suffer to be a high priest. And Yeshua's testimony is that he taught and practiced Yahweh's laws. And this is why he was persecuted. Remember that Yeshua was a messenger sent by Yahweh, as we see in Malachi. In the book of Malachi, so on page 725, it's Malachi 2, chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And this is speaking about Yeshua as a messenger sent by Yahweh. Okay, truthful teaching of the law was in his mouth. Iniquity, perverseness, unrighteousness was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace. He walked with me in peace, iniquity, uprightness, and turned many away from iniquity, sin. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. Okay, so we see the word messenger, side note G16 at the very bottom. Down there it says that showing whoever does not declare Yahweh's will is not his messenger and priest. Whoever does not declare Yahweh's will is not his messenger or priest. Okay, and we have a reference on Isaiah 8:20 on page 535 says, To the law and to the prophecy, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. Okay, the laws of Yahweh are not in them. The light is not in them. And also for my last scripture, 2 Kefa. Second Kefa chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Says, for when they speak great swelling words of worthlessness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through wantonness, licentiousness, the ones who have barely escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For by whom anyone is overcome, to him he is enslaved. And this is speaking to the false teachers, the slaves to sin, that Yeshua spoke of, and say that they put a yoke yoke of bondage on the people. They put sin on the people and don't lift up a finger to help them. Okay, so Yahweh was with Yeshua all through the way, and Yeshua overcame, and Yahweh set Yeshua's glory above the heavens. Now, Yahweh wants us to overcome and set our glory above the heavens, and this will only come about if we submit and stop the bickering and fighting, and then we'll make it into Yahweh's kingdom and reign with Yeshua. So, that's all I had for you. Please stand. May Yahweh bless your understanding.
And now it's a privilege and honor to turn it over to our speaker, the great Deacon Avishalom Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. You may be seated in PCI with each and every one of you. Today I'm going to try to encourage everyone, today and give us a little bit of hope, give us that strength, to keep on going, and to stand strong for our job ahead, and There's a large job that's ahead of us right now. There's a lot of this work of Yahweh is going to continue to encompass the whole universe, and we're going to be teaching forever. It's a large job. We see the end coming closer and closer. We see the nations getting ready for war, and the different things that are coming, and so we really need to be ready for these 2 billion. Like Pastor's been talking about. Another thing, we need to remember the things that the men of old went through, because they had a tough time. They were chased, and hunted down, and they're even killed, for the work they were doing. But we need to learn how they endured, okay? And we can use that their examples, to help us in our lives. Today I'm going to be talking about, one of the great, very righteous men in the Holy Scriptures, Iob, and the test he went through, different tests he went through, and, how he endured, his test. If you look at Iob 1, Iob 1, verse 1, it says, "In the land of Uz there was a man, Iob, and that was his name. He was perfect, blameless, and upright. He reverenced Yahweh and shunned evil." Okay, he was a very righteous man. 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, as well as a large number of servants. This man became the wealthiest of all the people of the East. Okay, so he's a very wealthy man. He had a lot of riches and different things, but he didn't let that turn him. He endured. He stood strong. And then Satan, if you look at verse 6, says, "Now they came a day when the sons of Yahweh came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan, the adversary and accuser, also came among them. And Yahweh said to Satan, 'Where do you come from?' Satan answered Yahweh, 'From going back and forth in the earth, from walking up and down in it.'" And it says, "And Yahweh said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Iob? There is none in the earth blameless or perfect, blameless and upright, a man who reverences Yahweh and shuns evil.'" Satan asks Yahweh, she told Yahweh that, Iob only references you because of, his riches, his money, and how you've protected him. And so Yahweh gave Satan the power, to take that stuff away from him, but not to kill him personally. Don't touch him personally. And you can see the things that occurred to him. The Sabaeans came and took his oxen and killed his servants, and, took all his animals and even his sons and daughters and his children got killed. And then Iob, but in all these things, he didn't do any wrongdoing. He stood strong. And then he was even afflicted, in chapter 2, you can see how Satan afflicted him personally, gave him the you know, the rashes and the you know, struck, you know, his skin, gave him severe inflammation and painful sores and stuff. You know, to where he was, you know, he's scraping, you know, literally scraping his skin, you know, and he was in severe pain. You know, and then you know, in verse 10 to 10, he says, you know, but he said to her, "You talk like a Nebula, a female void, female fool, void of understanding." He was talking to his wife after his wife tried to persuade him to, you know, leave from worshiping Yahweh, leave from, you know, practicing righteousness. He said, shall we accept success from Yahweh and not accept trouble? But in all this, it says, Yob did not sin with his mouth, okay? You know, he maintained, you know, his righteousness. He stayed strong. You know, and in the end, if you look at chapter 42, Yob chapter 42, you know, you can see where in verse 7, Yob's chapter 42, verse 7, he says, you know, after Yahweh had spoken these words to Yob, Yahweh said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is burning against you and your two friends, for you've spoken of me what is not right, as your servant Yob has. You know, and, you know, his friends, you know, they were all, you know, his friends, they, you know, they didn't hold strong, you know, and they sinned with their mouth, but Yob, he stayed strong. He never spoke evil against Yahweh. You know, in the end, you see how, you know, the things that have been captured from Yob, you know, they were given back to him. He gave him twice as many friends as he had before. You know, and in the latter end of them, he had 14,000 sheep, 600 camels, or 6,000 camels, 100,000 yoke of oxen, and female, or 1,000 female donkeys. And then he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, you know, and whenever he died, you know, later on, 140 years old, you know, he was satisfied, you know, he had that contentment that his life was of use. Remember, pastors talked about Yob's life a lot. I won't go into all that, but, you know, but he was blessed because he endured. He endured the tests and trials he went through, you know, and he stayed strong. And we have a very long job ahead of us. You know, there's many different examples through the Holy Scriptures about, you know, the people that stayed strong. They endured the tests and trials that they went through, you know, and how they were blessed. You know, we can see Yahshua, how he never sinned, even though he was being beaten, you know, and tortured, and he was eventually killed. He never sinned. You know, he stayed strong, and, you know, now he's our high priest. So, you know, in closing, we can see, you know, the problems that we have, okay? We see the problems that we have in our lives, the tests that we might be going through. But we need to learn from these things. We need to you know, learn from these things and take hold of what we're being taught, you know, because we're going to have to help 2 billion people one day. You know, we're going to have to help, you know, the people that are coming here. And, you know, then the billions and billions of other beings in the universe, we're going to have to help those people with their problems as well. You know, so don't give up. You know, don't throw it all in. You know, forget what we've learned. If you all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to Greg Kahn and Benny Lynn.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Okay, if you would, be turning over to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. Because we're going to be going over the gematria of Genesis 10, verse 8. So let's read that first. And it says, Cush begot Nimrod. And, you know, as pastors explained, you know, Nimrod is not a person. It's a system. It's rebellion. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. It says he was a tyrant who deceived, who turned against Yahweh. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the tyrant who deceived, who turned against Yahweh. And it shows you the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and all of them in the land of Shinar, that is Babylon. Okay, now, first to start off, I want to, for the newcomers, and just to refresh our mind, I want to show you the meaning of the word Babylon. It's word number 1894 in the Hebrew. There it is, Babel. Babylon, and it means gate of God, and it also means to confuse by mixing, or confusion as it shows right here, confusion. Now, with those in our mind, let's start off with the gematria here of Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. The first number we see is 1950. And by the way, you can't do this without doing it from the book of Yahweh. You must use the book of Yahweh. If you use the King James, the same numbers aren't going to come up. Okay, and this shows the inspiration that comes only from Yahweh's house. So the first number is 1950. Here's the word 1950 in the Hebrew. It's the word hemam. And let's look at the first definition. It means to rage, to be turbulent. You know, that word turbulent, it means characterized by conflict, disorder, and confusion. Not controlled or calm, unstable, chaotic, tempestuous. And if you go back to Genesis 49:4, you don't need to do that right now, but it said about Reuben that he was turbulent. Remember? Turbulent like water. And notice, here's why. It says, because you rebelled. Because you rebelled. Okay? Remember what Nimrod means. Rebellion. Okay? This turbulence, this conflict and disorder and confusion comes because of the rebellion. It also means raging. Raging. And it's from 2000, the Hebrew word 2000, which means, notice, confused, confounded. The same definitions we just saw, right? In the word Babylon. It means confusion, crushed, to throw into confusion, to trouble, to move noisily, to trouble, to vex, to put in commotion. Okay? And it's from 1949 in the Hebrew, and it means noisy, to roar, stirred, uproar. It means to be driven about. Remember? These clouds without water that Yada spoke about that are driven about by the winds. In Yada 12. And then here it means murmur. Like Yada 16 says, they're murmurers and grumblers, complainers, fault finders. It means to make an uproar or agitate greatly. And it's from Hebrew word 1993. Now, what I thought was interesting about this, if you'll notice, 1993 is when the peace agreement was signed with Israel and the Palestinians. It means to murmur, roar, be boisterous. It means aroused, become disturbed, make an uproar. Same things. Brawler. Okay? And it means to be boisterous, common, commotion, stir, to be boisterous, turbulent, again. To be in great commotion, disquieted, to be troubled. Etc. I mean, this is amazing, these definitions. And then notice, it's from Hebrew 1967. Now, that's interesting because in 67, what took place? Well, Pastor came to Abilene, but also we had the 67 Arab-Israeli War. And on 6-7-6-7, or June 7th, 1967, if you remember, Jerusalem was captured by the Israeli army. It's this word here, hemam, and it means, you know, it goes back to 2000 about that commotion and stirring up. So let's look at the second number about with this gematria of Cush begot Nimrod. It's 2928. Notice here it says, to break up or treat violently, oppression, Now, you should be at Genesis 10:8, and I want you to look at the side note there, G1. Nimrod was a cruel oppressor, and a tyrant. Nimrod ensnared the minds of the people with his words, you know, by preaching. And it means oppression. Just like the side note says. That's in the Hebrew, by the way. And here's the Greek, 29:28. And it means concealed, hid, hidden, secret, things hidden. To conceal that it may not be made known. You know, to keep secret. To conceal that it may not become known, to keep secret. You know, that's how these Freemasons work, you know, that have been operating since Babylon began. And remember, Satan was the first Mason. You know, they like to hide and conceal things, but Yahshua is exposing them right now. Did you understand that? Y'all understand that? They're being exposed by the house of Yahweh in these last days, just as prophecy said they would. Let's see. When you add up these numbers, by the way, this is interesting. When you add up those numbers in that gematria, if I can get it here, these are the numbers. 1950, 2928, and 488, you get 5366. And I found that interesting because here's what it means. It means money-loving. Money-loving, covetous. Is that not what the scriptures say they are? This Nimrod system and the men who operate it? It means a lover of money. Money-loving, lover of money and silver. Remember, he who loves silver will never be satisfied. Someone that's literally in love with personal gain. This characterizes the Nimrod system, fond of silver and covetous. And by the way, the Israeli war, the Six-Day War that began in 1967, began on 6/5/67, and it means to scatter. Remember, scatter? It says to cause, to break, or burst forth. A serpent, its brood, you know that brood of vipers? Remember that brood of vipers, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians that Yahshua spoke about? It means to scatter, to wound, to scatter. Now, if you think that's all a coincidence, I went ahead and ran it a different way for us. It says, therefore, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one, but that's a different one there. Let me skip that. Let me show you when this Cush begot Nimrod here. 2218 BY, it says. 2218. So let's look that word up. 2218. It means, Greek 2218 means a yoke or a heavy burden. A yoke or heavy burden. It means metaphorically used of any burden or bondage, okay, like the commands of the Pharisees, you know, the commands of the Pharisees. Remember that burden, that heavy load they put on people? Was he speaking of the laws of Yahweh when he talked about a heavy burden and an oppressive laws? Absolutely not. He's talking about the, what they call them, the traditions of the elders, okay, that Shaul the apostle also kept. Before he was converted, okay, that he was taught by this Nimrod system, which, by the way, I think it was called the school of Tyrannus, like the tyrants, okay, in the book of Acts. So I ran this a little differently here also. Therefore, its name is called Babel because there Yahweh confounded the languages of all the earth. First number is 39:12. 39:12 means to be beside oneself, to be deranged. To be deranged, you know, messed up in the mind, twisted, perverted, okay, can't get things straight. They have other names for it. It means to be beside oneself, acting contrary to sound thinking, acting deranged or delirious, like someone insane or mad. Does this not characterize the Nimrod system, the system that we see today throughout the whole earth? It means out of their mind. You know, they're not in their right mind. If they were in their righteous mind, they'd be sitting here or tuned in right now, would they not? Now, but remember, is it their fault? Who's teaching them this? This mixture, this Babylon, this gate of God, where do we find it? It's coming from the seven hills of Rome. That's where it's coming from. Here's the next number. 3912 was the first number. It means hammered ones, and that one means oppressed, the oppressed ones, okay? The oppressed ones. Speaking of the oppression in this world. And notice, it's from the word 3913, which means to hammer. It means forger or hammer or whet. You know, like, because remember, they're being taught. They're being taught. They're being taught oppression. They're being taught rebellion. They're being taught confusion. That mixture of righteousness and evil from that other tree. That doesn't come forth from this tree, right, House of Yahweh? This comes from the seven hills of Rome. It means instructor, to wet. Okay? They're being shaped and molded in the image of the gods. Now notice here, the second number in this gematria is 4812. And notice what it means. It means to carry off as spoil. You know how they steal everything? They take everything any way they want to get it. Okay? They went into these cities and they stole, they destroyed, they captured men, women, and children, their property, and they took it with them. It says, carry off its spoil, lead captive, make victim by fraud. Speaking of a predator with its prey. Remember, he who does righteousness becomes a prey, Isaiah 59. And it means to lead away as spoil, and it means to seduce, to seduce. Now remember, this is all speaking about Babylon here. This gematria of, therefore, its name is called Babel, because there Yahweh confounded the languages of all the earth. The last number is 802. I'm sorry, I had to do another 4812 here. 4812 is the second number, I didn't finish. It's in Hebrew, it means, I'll just make this easy, it means rebellious. Rebellious, okay? Rebellious. Very simple. Rebellious. It's Nimrod means to rebel, okay? The third number is 802. Notice this. 802 means not keeping covenant. Untrue to an agreement and treacherous. Read Romans chapter 1 and these words will come up. Read it again about this system. It means covenant-breaking, faithless. Romans 1:31. Treacherous of compacts, covenant-breaker. And then Hebrew 8:02, get this. It means wife. 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 An adulteress. You know that adulteress on the seven hills of Rome? The adulteress. A wife or woman. A harlot. Okay, a harlot. A widow. Read Revelation 18 about this widow, this queen that sits, she sits as a queen and says, I'm no widow. I'll never suffer loss of children. Well, her children are being set up for destruction right now, okay? And I want you to keep these definitions in mind because, remember, Pastor spoke about this last week, about this Babylon this that spread out throughout that whole area, you know, a whole area there. And now in these last days, it's spread out throughout this whole earth. And if you'd all please stand, it's been a pleasure, a great privilege to speak to you this morning. And if you'd all please stand, I'd like to turn it over now to the great Kohan Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. You know, what a great time and a wonderful time to be in the house of Yahweh with all the prophecies we see coming to pass in these last days. We start off, of course, the Roman Colosseum. Now, if you remember, this dates back all the way, you know, to the Roman Empire. And, of course, this was an area, as they compare it to football stadiums today. where thousands of people would come and they would literally watch people be shred to pieces by animals. They watched them slaughter them. They would send in their soldiers and slaughter them. And of course, a lot of Sabbath keepers were being done that way. They killed numerous, countless Sabbath keepers. And of course, there was a business over there that deals in high-end garments, and they paid for a lot of this reconstruction of this Colosseum so everybody could come tour it. Now, they're not emphasizing the murder and the blood that was shed there. They're making it sound like this great thing that everyone should have a part of, and of course, they're slowly opening the minds back to this bloodshed that they want to issue for anyone that will not follow their instructions, that they can shut down where you can't buy, sell, nor trade. Now, I want you to remember, Henry Kissinger once said that control the oil, you control the nations. Control the food, you control the people. That's very important for what we're seeing taking place in and around our world today. You know, it goes from the Roman Colosseum, which we will have a lot more on that to show more detailed information, but it shows the reconstruction of it and how they're turning it into something that everyone should come see. But then it goes back to refugees over in Jordan. And to me, this just simplifies and magnifies how much people are listening to the words of Yisrael Hawkins. Because these refugees over there, well, they're starting businesses inside the refugee camps. And they have food stands and, you know, barber shops. And the food stands that they started, they mentioned, think about this. They have a bakery, a pizza stand, and a falafel stand. Now, where on earth did you hear that from? They're paying attention to the words of Yisrael Hawkins. Now, when you watch these refugees, think about this. If someone says, hey, we need somebody to create a food stand here, and you think, well, it amounts to nothing. This one refugee city creates $13 million now in a refugee city, a profit. $13 million. That will sustain them. And now they're saying that the Jordanians are actually coming in to buy food from the refugees. So that just shows how magnified these things can get. If you'll just listen to the one cent, you can do it all on the other side of the earth. If you'll just listen, you can do many wonderful things. And then, of course, we see in dealing with every kind of ounce of righteousness, there is a hatred toward any righteousness that is shown. In Quebec, Canada, they just outlawed, and people here should really think about this, because there's going to be people fleeing. They've outlawed women wearing face veils. You cannot wear a face veil is what they're telling the women. Now, of course, any modesty, any righteousness, that's what they're coming against, forms of righteousness. Obviously, they don't care if you don't wear one or if you're not a modest person. No one's saying anything against that, but it's modesty. And actually, you'll be fined the first time you have it on in public. The second time, they actually put you in jail. Now, think about that, because Quebec is not the only place in Canada. It's not the only place doing it, but it's a tax against forms of righteousness. And then China, they convene every 5 years to negotiate, and their leaders come together, their president, along with many other cabinet members, come together to determine the next 5 years of the country of China. Well, China has declared itself a superpower, which it is. It's there. It has the money. It has the people to do what they want to do. But everybody's wondering, what is China going to do? And that's what they state in the news article. What is China going to do? Remember, control the oil, you control the people. Well, they helped form this petrodollar along with Saudi Arabia back in the 70s with Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger. And then going into Afghanistan, America, the United States has been there for over 16 years. And to this day, they're still seeing bloodsheds. But think about this. When they show it, of course, it's Muslim mosques being attacked. And then in Mogadishu in Somalia, 300 people killed with two truck bombings. Now think about this literally. When you go out and you're walking through the grounds, do you really worry about somebody pulling up beside you and blowing their truck up? That's reality to these people. They said some of these people were burnt beyond recognition. And of course, all of this taking place in and around that fourth part of the earth, in and around the great river Euphrates. And then in Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, they're actually doing what is called now ethnic cleansing. We call it depopulation. People are fleeing to Bangladesh. They're fleeing to Thailand. They're running away from their government, who is slaughtering them. Think about how much of a blessing it is to be here. And remember that about Thailand. There's more to be brought on that with what's going on with that ethnic cleansing. And then you have Iran. Of course, their anger is building even more for the United States and the comments that President Trump has made about this nuclear deal. And of course, the United States has said, we may still pull out. We're still thinking about what we're going to do. Now, this is an agreement that everybody else is saying that you have no right to pull out of. And then North Korea. This is very important because, remember, we're talking about depopulation. Refugees first. We're talking about depopulation in and around that fourth part of the earth. And then North Korea this last week, which is, once again, still in that fourth part of the earth. Actually, the leader coming out saying that the United States will suffer an unimaginable strike and that nuclear war may break out any moment. Now, where did you hear that from? Pastor, he said it from the podium. The prophecies show that nuclear war could break out any moment. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this. This was from Newsweek this last week, and the article was entitled, Kim Jong-un's Economic Could Totally Collapse Within a Year, North Korea Defector Says. And it says, North Korean's economy could collapse within the next 12 months due to tough sanctions recently imposed by the United Nations after pressure from the Trump administration, a defector said Monday. The sanctions the White House has imposed are historical. Never before has such strong sanctions been placed on North Korea, says Ri Jung-ho, who was a high-level economic official for the North Korean government before defecting in 2014. I don't know if North Korea will survive another year under the sanctions. Many people will die. There is already not enough to eat in North Korea, and the sanctions have completely blocked trade. Remember, control the food, you control the people. Well, of course, that's what they're doing, and they want the people to turn against the leader. That's what they're actually trying to get them to do, because if you can control the people, you can change leaderships in countries. You can have rebellions. Well, along with this, of course, we have nuclear war coming up, but then we also have a 3.5-year peace treaty that is being talked about over in Israel. Now, think about that. All of these things taking place, depopulation, refugees, people fleeing, death in and around the Great River Euphrates, war in place after place, and then we have a peace treaty. All of this stuff taking place at one time period. There's only one person on the face of this earth that said, look for all of those things, and then the end would come. There's no greater place to be than the house of Yahweh. Now, praise Yahweh. Before we go in, though, it shows what to expect if North Korea, if they feel so pressured and they just start letting ammunition fly. They feel as though there's no way out, so they just start shooting and launching things. Well, it shows that the BBC did an article and it said they could actually kill millions within a few hours just by launching everything they have into Seoul, Korea, which is just 30 miles away from the border of North Korea. Millions of people live in that city. But, of course, they said to expect them to launch things toward Guam and other American territories. And it's interesting, everything they say is in that fourth part of the earth. But along with that taking place, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says that there's historic times taking place in the Middle East right now. And, of course, the convoy that met this week, it says the U.S. Special Convoy, this article is from the Jerusalem Post, and it's entitled U.S. Mideast Convoy Greenblatt Backs Israel on Palestinian Unity Deal. And it says the U.S. Special Envoy to the Middle East, Jason Greenblatt, responded Thursday morning to the recently struck Palestinian Unity Deal, backing up Israel in its stance on negotiation with a future Hamas-run Palestinian government in the West Bank and in Gaza. Now, they go on to say the United States reiterates the importance of adherence to the quartet's principles. Remember, the Oslo Accord was an agreement based on principles. And, of course, that was confirmed by Rabin, as Daniel said. It goes on to say any Palestinian government must unambiguously and explicitly commit to nonviolence, recognize the state of Israel, accept previous agreements and obligations between the parties, including to disarm terrorists, and to commit to peaceful negotiations. Now, we know all of those words are words for nothing. If you disarmed all the terrorists, there would be no negotiations because everyone there is trying to get the upper hand. But why is this all important? Well, on December 1st, the Palestinian Authority is expected to take control of Gaza. They're actually supposed to be given control of Gaza, and that's just in a little over a month that that's supposed to take place. So watch for these agreements that are being made. Watch for the prophecies that are coming to pass, all according to the words of the one sent in these last days. And together we can actually see what all the prophets of old spoke about and what Pastor has seen for many years. If we could please go ahead and play the news. At this time, if everyone would please stand, I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Khan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh! It's feast time again. Praise Yahweh! You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Great things on the news, great things in the house of Yahweh. Our bread sack this week tops them all. And that Yahweh may send to Yahshua, the Messiah, that was preached to you by Israel, whom the heavens must retain until the time of the restoration of all things, about which Yahweh spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets. Acts 3:20-21. Today is 10/21/2017. Hebrews 10:21, Yahshua Messiah, high priest over the house of Yahweh. Today is 10/21. Hebrews 10:21 says Yahshua Messiah is high priest over the house of Yahweh. That's great thinking. Hebrews Strong's 10:21, house of the vineyard, I am the vine. House of the vineyard, I am the vine. Yahshua is the vine over the house of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. The radio station being added online is causing a lot of righteous gossip. Attached some of the comments, and one is a man from Kenzagena or something, which is in Democratic Republic of the Congo. He wants to be a member. He had a man, his profile says he is a pastor in Bolivia on Facebook, write us and wanted to know when we, the house of Yahweh, could come there. And, oh, we're getting a lot of this. Praise Yahweh, that the internet version, you can get this here as well as in Alaska or Germany or Africa. Internet radio station Facebook post comments reached 2,003 interested people, commenting people. They are very excited to have it to play wherever they are. Wherever they are in the world, they can get this. I was just telling some of the people that works on this morning that I remember for every response, they claim that you get one response, you probably got 100,000 that didn't respond. It's that widespread, but eventually they will. We had a man come here after studying 15 years before he came here. That's the way it goes. They got to be introduced. They're gathering in their mind. Another comment further down could not fit. I won't read the name. Looks like there might be a nice study channel on the internet. One could be driving long distance and turn this on and simply listen and stay fairly current on House of Yahweh teachings. The article this week, U.S. President Trump and the prophet Daniel has something in common. And that number one on Google
and it's way up there in the television stations. Well, anyway, it's way up there. I can't get the thing apart. Here's a printout, and it shows the percentage that we're reaching with this. It's quite a bit, and if you look, you can see the different countries there, too, that we know we're reaching, and then the percentage right there at the side of it is it's getting out. It's getting out there big time. Yeah, 20. That is 22 countries, but there's even more than that. Some things I want you to remember. I'm glad we got that gematria in concerning Babylon. If you keep some things in mind. I noticed that Netanyahu mentioned this time period. Now, I know the man is referring to this 3.5 years. We're the only ones on earth, the only religion on earth that's brought this out, the 7-year peace plan, and how it was shut down after 3.5 years by Netanyahu. It was started by Rabin, and after 3.5 years, he got assassinated, and by his own people, and then Netanyahu took over. He shut it down. When I went to Israel the first time in 82, there was hardly anything there. You got to remember that this war that took place in 70 AY, it was meant to destroy all Sabbath keepers, all feast keepers, all of those who use the name Yahweh, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, their children being in the seven hills of Rome today. You know, Babylon, if you'll just keep this in your mind now, Genesis 10, the Babylon, the confusion is brought out in the gematria, that this confusion started with Cush, and it spread throughout Babylon, which was a huge territory that this spread through. It's now the fourth part of the earth. If you can just get that in your mind, that Babylon was the fourth part of the earth, or almost the fourth part of the earth, where that confusion spread. Well, where is it today? Come and I will show you this great whore, this mystery Babylon, this Revelation 17, 1 through 5. Come and I'll show you this mystery Babylon of Genesis 10. Genesis 10. Genesis 10 shows you where it started after the flood with Cush, who fathered it, and it spread throughout the whole world and is still the leading cause of wars today, more so in this generation. In fact, it's picked up steam. But in 70 AY, 30,000 troops surrounded Jerusalem. Now, that's just the ones that surrounded Jerusalem. Vespasian, Titus's father, had a huge army besides this. And he was wiping out Israel. He was arresting. He was taking captive. They got this Colosseum open this week. I thought that was rather fitting, too, to have that in this time. In Italy, you may have seen it on the news. They opened this thing up and showing the thousands and thousands of people that they slaughtered in this thing, putting on like shows, like movies. Hope to get a documentary to show that where you can actually see it and see what took place after 70 AY and actually before that. I think it was the last time I was in Israel, I visited one of these that was in Israel, one of these Colosseums where they put Sabbath keepers in there who used the name Yahweh, and they would turn animals, wild animals, loose on them to eat them. The body parts that they didn't eat, Circe fed to her pigs and then fed the pigs back to the people. Now, this is what went on in Italy, too. This took place. This actually took place. The wild animals they used could not eat all the people they killed, but the pigs could. So they had a free feed for their pigs, their hog farms, that was invented by Circe, this organization where the word church comes from. The organization where Babylon, the word Babylon comes from, is pure confusion that came from Satan. Be like the gods. They'll get you so confused, you'll go to war and have continual war, continual strife, and only the strongest will win. Well, that's the confusion they got going throughout the earth. But in 70 AY now, they came in to finish the job. They told you, now anyone can figure this out. Anyone with any sense at all can figure out what I'm about to tell you. They told you that someone, this is what history says, someone shot an arrow into the temple by mistake now. He didn't mean to set it on fire, but just burned that sucker to ashes. Now here are rocks that are 46 foot long, 3 foot thick, and 4 foot wide. Did you ever try to burn a stone? We stack stones about around campfires to hold the fire in. Try to burn a stone. But you see how stupid people are to fall for nonsense like this. Romulus, Romulus, gods, baby gods that was cast down from heaven, hit the earth, didn't even hurt them? No. But they had to have a she-wolf raise them. They could actually be cast down from heaven to earth, hit the earth. There's fine shape. Came out fighting. But they still needed a she-wolf to feed them. Now, they want you to believe this. They don't want their mysteries exposed. The house of Yahweh, as far as I know, is the only one that's exposing this mystery Babylon the Great. The great city that sits on seven hills. Well, of course, Yahweh said that they would with their army. That's Daniel 11:31. That's showing the army that would stand on their side. They would actually do their job in, and that Israel would be wiped out. That's in Micah, that it would be destroyed. Jerusalem would. It looked like a plowed field when it got through with it. Now, these are the prophecies. Yahweh alone can foretell the future, and he foretold that many years before it took place in Micah and Daniel. Get that in your mind. Prophecy is above all. No one can do that except Yahweh. Now, here's someone who's telling you that the bomb would be invented that could darken the sun. He told you that in 33 AY. It wasn't started till 1934. But he told you that long before that. The King James Bible came out about 200 years before the prophecy was fulfilled. They have it on writing. They have it in writing. Here's people in a generation to come here, the last generation of sinners, that's going to have a bomb that can darken the sun. That was the prophecy. That came out in black and white in the King James Version, versions of the book of Yahweh that was taken in the same raid right here that destroyed Israel. Israel didn't exist. Israel didn't exist when I was born. if you could get that, it was, they didn't want any Sabbath keepers left in Israel. And when they got through with it, they were sure there would never be a Sabbath keeper there again. Then Britain, for money's sake, went to allowing them back in and taking control of them, of course, and taking their taxes, the money that came from there. This is a great tourist trap right here. We got to get this in operation. For money, they did this. They went to letting the people come back. They didn't realize the Vatican went to sleep, you know, like all their fathers went to sleep. They didn't realize there's letting Sabbath keepers in. They thought they had all them wiped out. You know, they're afraid to show their face. Yes, I know some people like that. My parents were. They were afraid. They lived in fear that someone would find out. Well, there was a bunch of them, and when they went back to Israel, they showed their hand. They started keeping the Sabbath the way they thought it should be kept. Well, the Vatican, after seeing all of this and seeing how many was flooding there, they cut down on the number that could go. But now, this was in my lifetime. I remember this war. I had a friend in Israel that went to the same college that I went to, that Jacob and I went to. He had a newspaper or a news magazine. Andrew Duggar was his name. Anyone remember that name? Hold up your hand. Andrew Duggar. Well, I had firsthand news because the man was a friend of ours, and he had just got out of college before Jacob and I, and we actually was acquainted with him. And he was about to die, and he told Yahweh that he would, if he had let him live, he would go on to Israel because he felt that was his calling and start this newspaper. So he gave Jacob and I firsthand news. It went to everyone that wanted it, but we got firsthand news of what took place. He said one report he had showed that bees were fighting for Israel. Well, Israel had to be reestablished for the prophecies to be fulfilled today. Netanyahu knows that now. Netanyahu also knows about the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, the Temple Mount brochure, which his predecessor had before him, and took it up on the Temple Mount and showed it to the Palestinians. Of course, that was Bulldozer Sharon. That started a war. A lot of these guys, that's all they can do is start wars. But Israel was rebuilding when I went there the first time in 82. There was not much food. I also had friends that moved from here. Don Montgomery and his wife were both teachers. He was a teacher of agriculture here in Texas. They moved to Israel, bought a place on the Moshav there, and Yahweh did this to keep us in touch with what was going on. And this kept us firsthand news all the time in Israel. But he bought this Moshav, and then later on my brother moved there, my two brothers moved there, they and them and their families, became citizens of Israel. This went on while Israel was actually rebuilding. When we went there in 82, there was very little of the old city that was actually standing. And the walls, some big stones that surrounded this old city, the huge stones like they built the temple out of also, there was few of them standing. In David's territory, that was where the most of them were, where he lived, where he set up his kingdom there, in the old city. But those huge stones were removed from there too. When you can't find the stone that big, It's not buried somewhere. When you can't find it, you got to know that something occurred to it. How did they move stones like this? How did they move them there to begin with? The same way they moved them out of there. They cut them and they moved them and they put them where they want them to go. How did they get them that high in Rome? How did they stack the Sistine Chapel? How did they get them stacked on top of one another? The same way they did in Israel. How did they build this Colosseum? Wait till you see this. This was a magnificent thing that I don't know if they could do it today. I doubt if their machinery would handle it, but they built an underground river, ocean that would float ships in that thing. This is not a small thing like this sanctuary right here. But that was all wiped out in Israel. I visited one of these sites. I saw it. I was down in the pit where they slaughtered the people. I saw this. I took pictures of it. If I can find the pictures, I'll show them to you. but I know I got pictures. But anyway, Israel did not exist for several years, 1,500 years, about the same length of the time that the Book of Yahweh, the versions of it came out in the 1600s to you, about the time that the letter J was invented. But it all started back with the Nimrod system and trying to get rid of Sabbath keepers, just as prophecy said. Babylon, or confusion, was spread by teachers. Yeshua exposed these teachers. He said they were the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. I want you to remember this because the Pope wrote me a special letter, which I intend to answer where everyone can hear it and read it. But he praise Yahweh. I got it right here in front of me, so I won't forget it. But Yeshua said these teachers belong to Satan. This is John, if you have a King James Version. Yochanan, if you have a Book of Yahweh. Yochanan 8:44. Your teacher is Satan the devil. And what your teacher wants you to teach, talking about the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, who now live on the seven hills of Rome. They did not keep the laws of Yahweh. They persecuted the prophets. Their fathers did before them. All of this is revealed in your Bible. Even a King James Version, any version reveals it. The versions are simply renditions or versions of the Book of Yahweh. But the Book of Yahweh contains Yahweh's name, Yeshua's name, the correct names of all the prophets, whereas the versions do not. The versions could not be printed. The Vatican wouldn't allow it to be printed with the names in it. Satan hated this. And what she wanted to do through her confusion was wipe out all of Yahweh's people in Israel, even those he brought up out of the land of Egypt and gave his laws of life. She wanted to wipe them out totally, where no one would even know they existed. And she almost did it, or at least she thought she did. Many of them hid by fear. They told lies to save their life, and they got through. Some of them came here to the United States. All of this took place in the last few hundred years. Remember, America was discovered in 1492, supposedly. I was born in 1934, just a few years later, a few lifetimes later, right there. All of that time, the Book of Yahweh didn't exist. The version started coming out. That's from 70 AY now to 1600. Before a version ever got out, a version of the Book of Yahweh ever got out. Israel still wasn't established. It was vacated. The Muslims were moving in on the Temple Mount. these Muslims were paying tribute to the Vatican, of course, and that's the way they wanted it. They don't keep the Sabbath, and they don't keep the feast days. So the Vatican allowed them to move in, but she was still much in control. Britain was a slave and always has been of the Vatican. The King James Version, that's where you get it. And the King James Version was permitted by the Vatican. He permitted the king to allow this King James Version to come out and authorize that for the people to read. Of course, it didn't have the names in it. It wasn't the Book of Yahweh. The Book of Yahweh didn't come out till 1987, put out by the House of Yahweh, the only ones that could, praise Yahweh. And if you paid close attention, you saw that you had to use the Book of Yahweh for this gematria. The versions just don't cut it. But the Book of Yahweh does, and it comes out perfectly every time. Well, of course, that Babylon sits on the seven hills of Rome at this time, and that's shown in Revelation 17, 1 through verse 9. The message from the Vatican today, and has been all this time, is the same. They teach the message of Satan that you find in Genesis 3, 1 through 5. No one ever notices, seems like. The Christians never notice what is said there. They never notice that the gods are evil. They never notice Deuteronomy 30, where Yahweh warned Israel and said, if you go back to God worship, you're going to perish. They never listened to the prophets that said, because of your sins, you're going to bring all-out war in the last days. The earth is going to be burned. That's Isaiah, as early as Isaiah. The earth is going to be burned. The whole earth going to be burned and few men left. How could that be? And how did he know that? Yahweh, this is what Yahweh does. He foretells the future. He's the only being that can. So the earth is going to be burned and few men left. There wasn't a nuclear bomb even started till 1934. And yet here is Isaiah prophesying 700 years before Yeshua, telling this. Then Yeshua says it's also going to darken the sun and gives you the generation of his work, where he plainly says, I'm going to send my messenger to do this. That's Matthew 24. And he says, in this generation, when I'm going to send my messenger to teach the message of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh. And then he says, don't even think that I've come to destroy the law. No, I'm going to send my messenger to teach it to all the world, to all the world. All the world's going to be burned. They're all going to hear this message before they're burned. And they're hearing it right now. The Pope is scared. The Vatican is telling him, well, say this and see if you can get the people to turn with this. Tell them that you can't get to heaven if you keep the laws. So basically, in this letter, they've exposed themselves. They don't believe the scriptures. They don't believe the scriptures at all. The scriptures is the only thing put out by the Creator telling you the way to salvation, guaranteeing you eternal life. The gods don't promise you eternal life. The gods say, well, the way you are now, you'll continue living. They can't kill you. They can kill your body, but they can't kill the soul. Well, what is the soul? Oh, it's just kind of a gassy vapor. Well, I bet he has a lot of fun. But this is a stupidity, like Romulus and burning rocks with one arrow, big stones with one little arrow. This is a stupidity that the world is believing, and they believe the Pope. They believe the Pope when he said, no, don't. Go ahead and steal. Go ahead and steal anything you want. Get, acquire, however you want to do it, by any mean. That's the message they teach. That's the Nimrod system that brought all of this mess through. It's causing one-fourth of the world right now to be in war with one another. The nations are angry, and your judgment has come true. That's what that means. The King James Version says your wrath has come. They try to make out like Yahweh is angry, so he's going to destroy. That's not true. The nations are angry, and your judgments are coming true. Your judgments. And the Vatican is teaching this. They're hard at work. Sin, Yahweh says, causes the wars, the fighting, and shows you examples of how it does so. Well, here's the letter now that the Pope wrote to me. He didn't know he was writing it directly to me, I don't think, but maybe he did. Pray that priests never use the law to shut door to salvation, Pope says. Well, of course, to an unlearned ear, this would probably turn them off from reading the Holy Scripture. The Holy Scriptures, Yahweh says, was, of course, written by the prophets that Yahweh inspired. They were moved by Yahweh to write these things. Now, and then he gives you the prophecies and says, they're going to tell you exactly what's going to take place, and you believe them because you can prove these prophecies come true. And that's written there for us. It just so occurs that Yahweh said, the only one that's going to bring this forth in the last days is the house of Yahweh. They're going to bring forth this great, marvelous truth that only Yahweh can foretell the future. Who as I, he said. Let them do it. So he gives you another prophecy there. How do we know the Bible or the book of Yahweh is true? Because the prophecies are coming to pass right in front of your eyes. Vatican, Pope. Listen to me, all you people out there. Listen to me. The wars was predicted in 96. 96 AY, that's after Yahshua. They were predicted to be started in and around the great river Euphrates. Before this war ends there, before it ends, a fourth part of that earth is going to, but fourth part of the people are going to be destroyed by nuclear war. The wars have already started, but the nuclear wars are held back. There's 25 million people, 25 million people living in North Korea, a small island in that fourth part of the earth. You look at a third of the people. If the earth is that populated in that fourth part of the earth, you figure it up. This is a huge amount of people that's going to be slaughtered, not with the wars that are going on right now, but it's going to turn to nuclear and could turn at any time. You notice they're repeating our words. It could start at any minute. They're repeating our words to the people. And Netanyahu says you really need to pay attention to what's taking place here. He's trying to draw your attention to what's taking place, but he doesn't want to tell you that what the house of Yahweh is saying is true and it's going to take place here in Israel. He knows it. Netanyahu knows this. He couldn't keep from it. He's got our literature. He agreed with it. He agreed with our literature, but he's pinned into bringing forth this prophecy. Yes, this has got to be done. It's a tangled mess to explain what a tangled mess this is and why he's going to be forced to divide this land for gain. He's under so much pressure from every nation. Every nation is tied together. They're saying, due to this octopus that's got his tentacles out there in all of these places, North Korea is being pulled by one tentacle after another from all different directions. Now, not just North Korea, every nation is tied into this. It started many, many years ago, before Israel became a nation. This started to take over that whole part of the earth over there to wipe out or to bring under control of the Vatican, where they could have a hand. The scripture that describes this is like in Genesis 49, where it says, his hand is going to be on the neck of all of his enemies, of all of their enemies. They may be an enemy to the Vatican, but he's got his hand. Yada has his hand on their neck, and there's nothing they can do about it. They're forced into making decisions that they know is going to be detrimental, but they know they can't do anything else. And they're under pressure with impeachment. Right now, he is. But what's really going to persuade him is he knows that it's all going to be taken away if he doesn't. And this is what they're showing him. We have this many nations that are against you right now, and if you don't walk the line, they're all going to come against you. Everything's going to be shut off from you. And all of this is being said under the table, of course. If you're a fly on the wall, as Yedidia used to say, or a spider on the wall, you could get all this information that Yahweh shows right here in the Holy Scripture. The 12 tribes that was brought out of the land of Egypt, they teach a totally different doctrine from what the Holy Scriptures. They're still in operation. They're led by Yada, and that is shown in Genesis, the 49th chapter. The Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians were the leaders, the heads of Yaakov. They called that in Micaiah 3. They were the leaders that rose up against Samuel, came down to the time when Yeshua was on earth. At that time, everyone that was teaching the laws of Yahweh, like Yochanan was, Yeshua, they sought immediately to arrest them, take them and kill them at the Colosseums or make slaves out of them, as they did Daniel and his buddies. Yes, they were part of that slavery that went on in Babylon. Remember Daniel and his buddies? Nebuchadnezzar was one of these Israelites that Yahweh allowed to rise and become the strong nation, showing, of course, that they can't bring peace. All of this is a proving ground. He allowed this to take place. He was strictly led by the laws, by the Cush administration that brought forth, called Nimrod, terrorism, terrorist. That's what the gematria also shows. This system, it's the same system we see taking place in that fourth part of the earth right now. Exactly the same system, with the United States prophesied in Revelation 13 saying, "Let us all be like the first beast." That's what we're bringing forth over there. That's what the United States, the two-horned beast, here in America, is saying. Now, this was written before America became America. It was written in this Bible, in the book of Yahweh, and it's in the Bibles too. Well, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes were the heads of Jacob who took over Jerusalem. And under that administration, Yeshua and Yochanan came preaching, repent. They came preaching, repent. And, of course, they killed both of them. That should show you what the Catholic Church is doing today. They haven't changed at all. They try to stay hidden in all of this, but the Scripture exposes them, but so does the newspaper reports that come out against them. The Vatican is saying, the Pope is saying, get this, the Pope said during his morning mess that he caused there, Pope Francis told, yeah, Okies can get away with that. You couldn't get away with it. But Okies did. During his morning mass, Pope Francis told a story about a priest who demanded a father not be present at his child's baptism ceremony because he had been divorced. The Pope said, now this he told you this to get you to say, well, that's just horrible, you know, for them to keep that father away, the grandfather away. You know, look how horrible that is. That's my son they're wanting to keep away. That's Cain. Don't you know he's my son? Well, this is the thought they put in your mind here to make the law look bad. The Pope said such a priest takes away the key of knowledge and closes the door on people. Francis said the gods want their people, their disciples, to live so that they can also help open the door to God or the gods for themselves and for others. Okay, now you may not catch that, but if you put it together with Genesis 3, that's the same message that Cain brought forth to Eve and Adam. Right there, that was the message he was preaching to them. Cain was a God worshiper, angry, frustrated, confused. That's where the confusion first is shown. Yeshua said now, the Vatican, who was in Yeshua's days on earth, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, Yeshua, he said, priest of Yahweh, wrote the inspired scriptures, and the Savior said, you're a fool if you don't believe them. He also said in Matthew 4:4 that man does not live except by he doesn't live by bread only or food only. He doesn't live, period. He doesn't live, period, except by the every word of Yahweh. That's Yeshua's teaching, quite contrary to the Pope's teaching. There are many of them today, he says, that is, many people who are teaching the laws. You know, there wasn't a few years ago. So the population of the people who's teaching the laws, according to him, must be growing some in this generation. And they must be getting that from Yahweh's house because no one else was preaching it before Yahweh started his house in these last days. I was brought up reading what churches put out. I know what they taught. None of them taught the laws of Yahweh. The laws of Yahweh says, go to the house, go to my house and keep my Sabbaths. That's the first thing you have to do, and there you will learn, Yahweh said. That's the first laws. They weren't teaching that. They were teaching, do not keep the Sabbath, worship the sun god, Baal, celebrate Christmas, whose birthday is December the 25th, the birthday of the pagan sun god, Baal. Christmas is a celebration of that. That's what we're, and Easter, Halloween, all of these things are celebrations of the God. That's what all the churches that you went to, that's what they practiced. They said, eat pork, eat the unclean, touch the unclean. They were all evil like the gods, all the religions when I was growing up. But I saw from the scriptures all of this stuff was condemned. You can too. All you have to do is start reading. It's not very far that you'll start seeing how different the religions are from what is in the scripture. Well, he says now there are many law teachers today. He says that is why praying for us priests is necessary, including himself, so that today's ministers will not close the door like the Pharisees did. They were the Pharisees. They're still teaching the same doctrine as the Pharisees. And Yeshua said, yes, the Pharisees closed the doors to salvation. The Pharisees did. I begged the Pope and the Vatican to look at Mark. This is the Savior's words. Mark 7, and see how evil this letter is that he's writing to you, and the evil he is trying to bring forth here. In Mark 7, look at verse 1. You see the words Pharisees and scribes there? Look at verse 3. In the last line, you see the word traditions. This is what the Pharisees brought forth. This is Mark 7, 1 and 3. Now the Pharisees and the Yadim, that's Yada. Notice, Yada, who has his hand on everyone's neck in the world today. This is the complication of this mess they've set up. But this is also the reason they can't find a law that they can't pass a law that will help. If they pass a law, there's 40 that contradict it. Yes. There's one, as the old saying goes now, there's a lawmaker, a lawgiver, born every day, and two lawbreakers to take advantage of him. There's something else, I think, but that fits there too. Now, the Pharisees and the Yadim generally never eat without washing their hands, holding the tradition of the elders. Tradition. Now look at verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders? That's what the Pharisees were teaching. Verse 6. He answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah the prophet prophesied of you hypocrites. You're nothing but hypocrites. Pope Pius, you're a hypocrite and you know you're a hypocrite. And all the Vatican is a hypocrite. You bring forth mysteries. You bring forth lies like Christmas, Halloween, and Easter. You bring forth lies like you're insinuating that the disciples did away with the laws. When every disciple that you read his writing tells you, if you don't repent of breaking his laws, you're going to be burned. Clear up to the very end there. Now look at verse 7. But in vain you worship. All your worship is in vain, Vatican. All your followers, your worship is in vain. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. You don't teach the commandments of Yahweh, so your worship is all in vain. And the sinners now are going to destroy the sinners very soon now with nuclear burning because of you. That's what your scripture shows. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They didn't teach these laws of Yahweh. You're a liar. You know you're a liar. You can't read the scriptures without knowing that the Pharisees taught against the laws. They killed Yahshua and Yochanan for teaching the law. They persecuted the prophets before them, and they killed the 11 of the 12 disciples. You have record of that in your Vatican storage right now. Fox's Book of Martyrs got information from you to write that. Laying aside the laws of Yahweh, this is the Savior speaking to you. You laid aside the laws of Yahweh, you hold the traditions of men. Then he said to them, how well you reject the laws of Yahweh so that you may keep your own traditions. That's what the Savior said about you, the Vatican. Verse 21 says, and from within he said, out of the heart of men, you're preaching that right now, proceeds evil thoughts to get people to do away with Yahweh's laws. To which of the disciples of Yahshua said, this 4-4, and to the Pharisee, look at the one you said started the Catholic Church. Of course, you know you're lying there, too. You killed him. You hung him upside down. That's what the scriptures show. You hung the man upside down. Kepha, whose name you changed to a derogatory word. You know that, too. Surely you know the shame in that. You can't be intelligent at all and not know the shame of what you tried to hang on to the Apostle Kepha with the name that you put in the version, the King James Version of the Book of Yahweh. Kepha, 2 Kepha 1. 2 Kepha 1. And verse 21. For it would have been better for them not to have known. Did I get that right? Well, let's read it anyway. Not to have known the way of righteousness. Then after they had known it, speaking of you now, and your Pharisees, your Pharisaic fathers before you. You know, they're saying now this Sistine Chapel that they're finally revealing is the temple that stood on the Temple Mount. It's the exact same size, same stones. The Holy of Holies is the same. Everything is the exact same measurements given in Kings. Well, they're saying that this shows the ties between them and ancient Israel. They're admitting this, Pope Francis. Why don't you admit it? The Pharisees, your fathers, are the ones that moved it to Rome. It would have been better for you never to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy laws delivered unto them. There has befallen them the thing spoken of in the true proverb, a dog turns to his own vomit, and a sow is washed only to wallow again in the mire. Now, that was too, I'm glad Yahweh led me to read that because it should have been 2 Kepha 1. 2 Kepha 1:21. For the prophecy did not come in former times by the will of men, but holy men of Yahweh spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of Yahweh, and you remove the name there, the name Yahweh, to deceive the people, thinking it was gods that did this. So there again, turning them to worship God. Samuel has one of them saying, one of those sayings, stop worshiping the gods. 1 Samuel, speaking to your forefathers that actually took over the temple. In 1 Samuel 7, you see a list of the gods they worship. 1 Samuel 7. They were having trouble already with their kings ruling them. Yes, they had seen kings set up before Samuel. They had them set up, and those kings were causing them trouble. They were causing them wars in the 12 tribes of Israel, fighting against one another. That's in chapter 7. The same ones were brought before Samuel in chapter 8, 1 Samuel 8, and Yahweh shows that they came from Coptic Catholics in chapter 8, 8, 4 through 8. 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 8 shows that your ancestors came from the Coptic Catholics of Egypt. They didn't change. They didn't change at all. They're still the same beastly system that was brought forth from Cain. Then after the flood, they were brought forth by Cush, who fathered the system of terrorism to get what you want. Yahshua said it too in Matthew 5. We won't turn to Samuel, but you need to write it down if you haven't read it. 1 Samuel 7, the last part, they were in trouble, and Samuel said, "Get rid of your gods, and I will have Yahweh, ask Yahweh to win your battles for you." And he did. Then 28 years, I believe it was, later, just about 28 years later, they came to Samuel and said, "We want a king. We want a king like all other nations." Well, what spread to those all other nations? The Nimrod system. That's what spread to all the nations. It took over the whole world there. All the known world, anyway, at that time. They didn't know about the land of America at that time. Well, Yahshua said in chapter 5 of Matitya, chapter 5, and look at verse 6. Chapter 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." Now, if you don't know what righteousness is, write down this scripture. Deuteronomy 6:25 tells you what righteousness is. That's not the only one now. You say, "Well, that's the Old Testament." I know you're saying. You're saying that everything in the Old Testament was done away with. There you're lying again. All you're bringing forth is lies. The apostles taught the Old Testament, as you call it. The apostles taught book one of the book of Yahweh. They said, Yahshua said, "If you don't keep this, you're a fool, and the only way you're going to live is by every word." Every word that the prophets have spoken, Yahshua said. Luke 24, verse 25, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see Yahweh. Pure in heart are those who follow righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's a peaceful solution, character education program. For they will be called the sons and daughters of Yahweh. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That's the Savior doing the talking. 1 John 3, 4 tells you what righteousness is. 1 John 3, 4, 7, and 8. Write it down and read it in your own Bible. It's even there in the King James Version. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Keeping the laws of Yahweh is righteousness. And that's what you're told in 1 John. It's told in many places. For theirs is the kingdom of Yahweh, those who follow Yahweh's righteousness. Yahshua said, "Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh," or house of Yahweh, habitation of Yahweh. Seek it first and his righteousness. That's Matthew or Matitya 6:33. Blessed are you when men will revile and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You know, we have suffered a great deal here in Abilene. Every prophet that spoke the words of Yahweh suffered the same thing before us. Many of them suffered death. Many were put in prison. The scripture is full of this, showing you this. Yes, we suffer. We're called all kinds of evil things. But we're the only ones on earth that's bringing forth Yahweh's word. We're the only ones called the house of Yahweh that have right to that name. We're the only ones fulfilling the prophecy of teaching Yahweh's way versus the Vatican's way. Vatican actually means the divining serpent, the serpent that deceived Eve through deceiving Cain. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for greatest is your reward in heaven. For in the same manner they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I'll skip most of this, but those who taught Yahweh's righteousness were called the light of the world. That's in Matthew 5:13-16. Please write this down, everyone who's hearing me out there. Matthew 5:13-16, don't let any man deceive you. 1 John 3:7 and 8, don't let any man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. He who practices breaking Yahweh's laws belongs to Satan. That's what even your Bible says. That's what the King James Version said. Sin. God worship. That's what God worship is. Be like the gods and sin. A point that's the same teaching that Satan brought forth. Read Matthew 5:17-18. The divining serpent. The divining serpent is, of course, the Vatican. That's what the word means. The divining serpent. Called the same thing in Genesis 3. The serpent, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, Revelation 12:9, has the whole world deceived. Whole world deceived. What is the world worshiping today but gods? We're the only ones on the face of the earth that do not worship gods. We worship Yahweh. I was in Rome. I was invited there to speak at the peace conference in Rome. We visited many places while we were there. We saw the gods. We saw them lined up on building, all of them uncircumcised even. Yes, they left that too. They quit that also. Write down, please, 1 John, if you have a King James Version, 1 John 3, verses 4 through 10. Replace the name Yahweh, each place the word God is used there, and you will get a different view of Yahweh. He's not a God. He's the Heavenly Father who is the creator of mankind, the earth. He did it alone. There was no God with him. That's what your Bible says. Be tuned in to these broadcasts. You can get them now on the radio broadcast. You can get it through your internet. This is a great place, as everyone is saying who listens to it, to work and even have your radio on right at the side of you, playing through your computer, picking up this wherever you are in the entire world. You can get this. Praise Yahweh. Yeshua said, "Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh." Let's turn over to Matthew 7. I want to cover this one before we quit. But Matthew 7, and where Yeshua shows, he says in verse 13, he says, enter in through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And the many are those who go that way. All the world is worshiping gods. all the world is at war, worshiping gods, just like Cain in the fourth chapter of Genesis said they would be. Continual war. That's what's leading them to war. Isaiah 24, 1 through 6 says that's the cause. Breaking the law, changing the everlasting covenant, breaking Yahweh's laws. Because straight is the gate, verse 14, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. It leads to life eternal. Revelations, the Savior, the very last chapter in Revelations, the Savior speaking, chapter 22, verse 12, he says, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, the reward of eternal life. He's the judge. He's given authority to judge and make decisions over the house of Yahweh. He's high priest over the house of Yahweh. Hebrews 10:21. And he says in Revelations 22:12, Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according to what his work will be. I'm the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who keep his laws. Your King James Version will say, Blessed are those who keep his commandments, that they may have life eternal and may enter into this great kingdom that Yahweh is forming, the house of Yahweh. That leads to life, and few there be that find it. You're the many. You're the many. You're the strongest population on earth. You're Catholic. But you're not going to survive. Yahweh says you're going to be burned. Yes, that's Revelations 18. 18 in 1 hour. 1 hour, along with the whole earth, you're going to be burned. Likewise, every righteous tree, every righteous tree. Genesis 2:9. Yahweh put this righteous tree there, the tree of life. Yeshua said in the last book, I just quoted it to you, Blessed are those that keep his law, for they have right to the tree of life. It was cut off in Genesis after it was rejected. In the last days I will establish my house. There is nothing in between. No tree of life. Only in this generation we will be given the power. Yes, through man it's going to come. That was my sermon before the Pope wrote me this letter. Likewise, every righteous tree brings forth righteous fruit. They practice the laws of Yahweh, as 1 Yochanan 3, 4, 7, 8, and 10 says. Every righteous tree practices keeping Yahweh's commandments. Don't let any man deceive you otherwise. That's what you're told in your own Bible. The Pope wants us to take his word. The Vatican, the divining serpent, wants us to take their word over the book of Yahweh, or over the King James Version even. A righteous tree cannot bring forth righteous fruit. The righteous tree cannot bring forth fruit of iniquity. A righteous tree can't preach iniquity. They can't preach that the laws of Yahweh are done away with. Only the Catholic Church can do that, the divining serpent, and all the religions that follow her into God worship. Nor can a tree of evil bring forth righteousness. It's beyond the Vatican to bring forth righteousness. That's what you're told here. They can't bring you salvation. Only the house of Yahweh can do that. And Yahweh says in the last days, Micaiah 4, 1 through 3, in the last days I will establish my house. Meaning it's not there. It won't be until the last day. The last days is the time when the nuclear bombs can destroy, can block the sun and burn the earth. That's the generation, Yeshua said, when I will send forth my messenger, the house of Yahweh, and it will gather my people. Every tree which does not bring forth righteous fruit is cut down and cast into the lake of fire. No, you won't receive eternal life. Fire, you receive your reward. As Yeshua said, I come quickly and my reward is with me. And he says, and well, let's read on. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, teacher, teacher, will enter the kingdom of Yahweh. Well, how do you enter then? But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, teacher, teacher, have we not prophesied in your name or cast out demons in your name? You claim to do all of this, Pope Francis. You all lie about everything you teach. Barack Obama just sent you a message this week. He said, stop your damn lying. Read it for yourself. Your name profaned many wonderful works. You're saying you're performing many wonderful works. Yeshua, notice his words to you. But then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who practice iniquity. Surely you know what iniquity means. It means doing away with the law, which is what you're doing. You're trying to do it in this letter right here to the people to make them think that they can be evil as the gods and still enter the kingdom of Yahweh. No way. No way to mix it. You just can't do it. And Yahweh shows it in this chapter right here. Now read this verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. That's a rock of unity, as Yeshua said. And the rain came and the floods came, but it didn't wash it away. Now, verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, but does not do them, that does not keep the laws of Yahweh, you who practice iniquity, everyone who hears these sayings of mine, but does not do them, is like a fool. A fool, Francis. Luke 24, verse 25 says, you're fools. If you don't believe, and Yeshua said, do all the words that the prophets have spoken. Yahweh's prophets, not the prophets of Baal, not the prophets of the gods, but Yahweh's prophets have spoken. You're foolish. You're like the man who built his house on the sand. And great is the fall of your house. In fact, it's going to be burned, yes, very shortly now. Yahweh shows in this generation, it's going to be burned, the entire world. Those sinners will burn the sinners, just like they're burning the sinners now, but it's going to get worse. One third of man is going to die over that fourth part of the earth where the wars are going on right now. Nuclear war is shown to be the part that will take away the biggest part of them. And it gives you the colors there of the nuclear bomb, the mushroom cloud. It gives you the colors. I have it in the book, The Mark of the Beast, that I wrote back in the 70s. I think it was in 76, that have those colors, the mushroom cloud. You get them by putting three colors together, and those colors are shown to you in Revelations, the ninth chapter. Revelations, the ninth chapter. Those colors are shown, and they're going to be, that's going to be used, nuclear war, to kill a third part of the people over that fourth part of the earth. Then it will spread from there to the whole earth now. The earth is going to be burned and few men left. The only ones that's going to be left, Yahweh shows, and his prophecies are 100% accurate, is the ones that's keeping his laws and reverence his name. Look at Malachi 4, 1 through 4. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.